I'm going to ask if you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. I want to pick up in the middle of the chapter. Now, I will reference the entire chapter, or most of it, as in the message this morning. But for the sake of time, I want to pick up in the middle of it. And we're going to pick up in verse 16. Is everybody there in Daniel chapter 2? Say amen. All right, here we go. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the kingdom or the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the king or made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changed the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Verse 24, "Therefore Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said thus unto him, 'Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation.' Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation.' The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, 'Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king.'" Verse 28 says, "But there is a God in heaven." If you highlight, if you underline, if you make notes in your Bible, I want you to underline, I want you to highlight, I want you to circle this phrase, "But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." 29 and 30. I'll stop at 30. "As for these, O king, my thoughts came into the mind upon the bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." Verse 30. "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." All right, in verse 28, I told you when we got there, I want y'all to draw attention to that portion of Scripture. It says, "But there is a God in heaven." I'll be speaking on that here in just a moment, but I titled this message, "But There is a God." But there is a God. I think we as Christians, many times we get caught up in everyday life and we forget just who is there. We think, well, I used to have this person and I used to have that person and they're no longer here. And then our minds will play games with us and tell us that there's nobody here. There's nobody that understands. We're doing this all alone, but we need to be reminded there is a God. There is a God. So I'm going to read some more in this chapter here, but for the sake of time, I did not want y'all to stand for that long, but I want you to first of all see, I picked up in the middle of this, many of y'all could tell me exactly what's going on and what's happening here, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to read the first verses 1 through 7 and verse 11 at the beginning of the chapter, just for context of what it is we're reading. The Bible says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Have y'all ever had a dream where it just woke you up, that your spirit was troubled, and you, I'm sure that life has threw some curveballs your way, that and you had something bothering you when you go to sleep, or maybe you didn't have anything bothering you, but in the midst of a dream or something happened and you woke up and you was almost in a panic-like state. Well, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar here. We're not talking about a child of God. We're talking about, I believe, at this point in time, he was a very lost individual. He was dying. He was on his way to hell. I say that because we truly cannot know a man or a woman's heart, but I believe that there could have been a point in his life where he seen himself for who he was and that he needed that God. But here in just this moment, he had a dream and he woke up and he was troubled, but there was something about that dream. Verse 2 tells us, then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Sirach, which was one of the languages there, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we'll show the interpretation thereof. Well, king, you just tell us what you dreamed, and we'll tell you what it meant. You know as well as I do, that would be very easy for you and I to do. Somebody just tells you, well, I had this event play out in our mind, and we could make up any kind of story. So they're asking the king, just tell us what it was, and we'll tell you what it meant. Verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Verse 7, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof. You see, the dream, he was startled. He woke up. He was scared. There was something that got his mind racing, and maybe his heart racing, and he didn't even know what the dream was. So he was asking the people, he was asking the wise people in the world's eyes what the dream was, not just what it meant, but y'all got to tell me what it is. But I'll tell you, if you can't tell me what it is, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill every one of you. It's all y'all going to be dead. He said, you better tell me my dream and what it meant. And then we know that they truly did not know. We get down to verse 11. And these are the worldly people, the lost people. This is the world answering a worldly king. It says, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. Now we see that in our Bible as a little g. We see that with an S on the end. We know that they're speaking. They don't know the one true God. They said, except the gods whose dwelling is not with the flesh. They're telling the king, king, I cannot answer your request. King, I cannot give you what it is you want. I want you to see this morning, they were in an impossible circumstance. An impossible circumstance. They said, king, you got to understand, there's nobody that lives with flesh on, and nobody can tell you what it was you dreamed. But king, if you'll just tell me, give me a little bit of your dream, and I'll tell you what it meant. It'd be so easy to fabricate something. He said, no, you're going to tell me my dream. They said, we're not gods. There's no gods in us. We can't tell you that. Now, we know that the gods that he was speaking of wouldn't be able to tell anything anyways because they're dead as a doornail anyways. But y'all ever had an impossible circumstance in your life? That you've just sought for help from somebody and nobody could give you the answer you need? Nobody could tell you what it is you needed. Nobody could comfort you. Well, see, I want you to understand that's exactly where they were this morning. The king wasn't asking for something difficult. He wasn't even asking for something very hard. He was asking for something impossible. Impossible. Everyone in the kingdom that had any kind of wisdom about them, as far as in the world's eyes, they were ushered in front of the king's presence. And they, just as quickly as they was ushered in front of the king's presence, they were baffled by the king's request. We can't give you that, king. How am I supposed to know that, king? You see, their lack of wisdom was exposed here. But it was a very impossible circumstances. They said, we can't tell you. But there has to be some God that does not dwell with flesh that can tell you. And I see in my Bible, Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Who knows in here that we serve a God of possibilities? Everybody can lift their hand to that. I'm thankful that I can say that. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's sometimes that the one up here that raised a hand, I sure don't act like it. Now, don't get mad. Let's just be real. Let's be honest. There's sometimes when impossible circumstances come our way, when you and I are up against the wall and we've turned to every other resource, there's nowhere else to turn to, and we just don't know what to do. Everything that we've tried has failed. Then that's when we go to the God of possibilities. That's when we go to God that nothing is hard for Him. But why in the world do we wait that long? Just being honest, maybe y'all are more spiritual than I am, and maybe y'all are, but there's many times in my life that when I have something coming up against me, I try to do everything I can to handle it myself. And I try to take the matters in my own hands, and you know what I end up doing? I end up making a mistake and a failure of what it is. We need to be reminded of the God that we serve. It's impossible with us. Everything is impossible. Tell me one thing that's impossible. Make your heart beat. Who keeps your lungs inhaling and exhaling when you're sleeping and when you're resting? You don't. Oh, well, maybe you got me there. Well, I'm going to tell you, we, outside the grace of God, we can't do a thing. There's nothing that you and I can do. But I tell you this morning, we serve a God of possibilities. What can He make possible? He can make a dead man live. Not only can He make a dead man live, but He can take a broken life and He can put it back together and make it not just good as new, but better than new. Because I'm going to tell you, there was a day that when my life was broken, when my life was just in pieces, and that's where our God specializes in. That's His specialty. He'll gather not all the pieces, because He don't need all the pieces. He'll just gather the pieces. He'll gather them together, and He'll put us back together. And in the world's eyes, we're still holy. We're still broken. We're still acceptable to losing things, but that's just where He works. He takes the impossible and makes it possible. We as Christians, we got to be reminded of the God that we serve. It's possible with Him. It's possible to take a heart of stone, one that you've tried to share the gospel with, one that you've tried to take different avenues to insert the gospel to get to that heart, just to soften it up. Oh my, His Word can not only just soften it up, but He can shatter that cold, hard heart. It's possible for Him to take the needle how the drug addict's arm. It's possible to take the bottle out of the alcoholic's hand. It's possible to even save a church pew sitter of 50 years. One that you just knew was saved. It's possible to save them. What are you saying? It's all possible for Him. Now, I'm going to get to that statement here in just a moment in verse 28. But before we get there, you must understand that they were in an impossible circumstance. I want you to see in verses 17 and 18, there was a pleaded action. Verse 17, it says, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." Many of y'all don't know their names. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's these individuals. These are just the Hebrew names. His companions, verse 18, "that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." I'm going to tell you, Daniel done something when he was brought before the king, and he actually told Arioch, he said, "I just need some time." And Arioch was brought in there, and he said, "King, just give me some time, and I'll show you the dream and the interpretation thereof." And Daniel done something that was maybe head-scratching for most. What did Daniel do? He didn't go outside and grab a scroll or a piece of parchment and start fabricating a story. He didn't go up to somebody, "How are we going to do this? What are we going to say? The door seems to be wide open, and we got to say something or our lives on the line." No, what did Daniel do? Verse 17 says, "Then Daniel went to his house." Why would he go home? Out of all the places he could go, he went home. But why? Because he had to let his godly companions know about the situation at hand. Why? So they could help Daniel bring the needed prayer request, bring the needed request to the only one who could do anything about it. Verse 18, as I just read, it says, "They would desire mercies of thee, God." The God. They knew who it was they were praying to. They knew who it was they were calling out to. You must understand, these men's lives had been turned completely upside down. They've had their names changed. Now, I know that listed here, it's the Hebrew name, but they're going to have their names changed. Their atmosphere was completely changed. Their clothing, the garments they wore, that was changed. Their looks about them were changed. It's even believed that their bodies were altered so they could not have any children. The king tried to force meat that was sacrificed to false gods down their throats. Everything about them was changed. They was taken from their homeland. There was nothing about their lives that didn't change. Even the names that they got was not to edify the God of their chosen one, but to edify the gods in Babylon. Even though their names was changed to edify the pagan gods of the Babylonians, they remained faithful to the one true God. Now, this is where you and I live. Everything was changed about them. But you know, and what we read that Daniel and his three friends did not do, they didn't get bitter. Where do you see anywhere in the Bible that they get bitter? "God, why am I going through this? God, why am I facing this?" No, there was no bitter about the situation they were in. They didn't turn around and say, "God, if you would have just killed them on their way, we wouldn't be facing up." No, they didn't get bitter. They didn't blame God. But what'd they do? They turned to the only one who could do anything about their situation. And I believe in your life and my life, as the things roll our way, we know that this life is not going to be easy. We know that it's just not going to be a smooth boat ride. We know simply, y'all've been through the fire. Y'all've been there. It's just like a roller coaster, up and down. But it seems to go down a lot quicker than it goes up. And when it goes down, it almost like it levels out. It's just a constant battle, and it's a heartache in our lives. But I'll tell you one thing. Don't forget the God that you serve. Don't forget who it is you serve. They called out to this God because they knew that He was the only one that can do anything about it. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever get that point in your life where you're bitter, if you ever get that point in your life where you start blaming others for the situation that you're in, boy, the mercies of God just might dry up in your life. Well, you don't know what I've been through. No, but I'll tell you, I've been there. I've had bitterness in my heart. And I'm going to tell you, I can't ask God to bless with bitterness in my heart. But I want you to see verse 19. Verse 19, I want you to see the delivered answer. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. I want you to see that they pleaded to God, and what happened? God answered their pleading. And we could read on and we could see that not only did God answer, but God blessed. But here's where you and I think that when God answers, oh, it's wonderful. When we've been praying for something God to do and something that only God can do, oh, I'm thankful when He comes through and He finally does answer, whether that's saving a lost individual, whether He's fixing relationships, whatever that may be in your life, I'm thankful for that. But I wonder if many times if we don't do what Daniel did. After it was answered, what did Daniel do? It says, then Daniel what? What did Daniel do? Verse 19. Then Daniel blessed who? Where's your blessings come from this morning? They come from my bank account. Well, wait a minute. Who keeps the money in their bank account? I do. I go to work. I punch the time clock. Well, that sounds fine and dandy, but who gives you the health to go? I done told you, you can't make your heart beat. You can't make your lungs inhale and exhale. If your heart starts skipping beats, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start skipping some work. Your bank account might get a little low. I'm going to tell you, we are not self-made people. But sometimes we sure do walk around like it. Now, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just being honest. But there was a delivered answer. And then we see in verse 19 that Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Why? For wisdom and might are His. Verse 21. Who is God? He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in Him. Verse 23, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel not only acknowledged where his blessings come from, but he acknowledged that even though Nebuchadnezzar was not a man of God. Notice in when he was given thanks, he said he removeth. It doesn't say goodly or godly kings, but it says he removeth kings. I want to tell you, our God that we serve is in power of everything in this world. Oh, wait a minute. That just don't sound good with my theology. That just don't set well with me. It doesn't matter if it sets well with you. We serve a sovereign God. What do you mean? He's always in control. My life's been in an uproar. Praise the Lord, you got a life to be in uproar. Well, you just don't understand the things I'm going through. No, I don't. And you don't know what I've been facing, but I do know you and I ought to have the same exact response. What is that? We ought to worship. What did Job do when he lost everything? He fell down and he worshiped. He fell down and he worshiped. But I say all that to say this in closing, and she don't have to come yet, but verse 28. Or actually, let's go to 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king. Daniel standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, the secret which the king demandeth, he says, the wise men, your astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, nobody in your kingdom could give you the answer that you was needing. Nobody. Verse 28. But there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. The word but here, do I have any English teachers in here that maybe used to be an English teacher? The word but, everything changes when we get to this word but. King, none of your people, nobody could help you. Nobody could do what it is you wanted to ask, but. See, I don't know if this is right or not, but I've got down here that it's a conjunction. The word but is a conjunction. If I get it wrong, just correct me after service. The word but is a conjunction. And inside a conjunction, let me tell you what a conjunction is. A conjunction, what it does is it connects two phrases or clauses. It connects two. Well, what's the two phrases? It connects verses 27 to 28. You notice 27 doesn't end with a period. But verse 28 begins with the word but. But that word, B-U-T, but, is a, not only is it a conjunction that connects two phrases or clauses, but a conjunction is also separated in three different categories. The word but is what we call a coordinating conjunction. And it takes the phrase over here and the phrase over here and it holds them together. You can't read one without the other. You can't understand one without this one. You've got to have them together. And also, another coordinating conjunction is also the word and. It's just another three-letter word. But let's see if we take out the word but and put the word and here, how much it would drastically change it. Daniel tells us in verse 27 that nobody could help you. It says, the soothsayer, show unto the king. And if we put the word, and there is a God in heaven. I mean, that's still powerful. But the word but is here. And what it does is it takes everything that was just talked about, everything that was just faced, everything that Daniel just talked about, hold up, you hold that over here. Because we're getting ready to make a change. And then we get to verse 28 and it says, but there is a God in heaven. And what I'm saying is everything that happened before verse 28 had to go on hold. Because this conjunction had to come in here. What are you saying? What are you saying? When you were lost in sin. When you were on your road to hell. When you were so freely going there with no care in the world. A God jumped out and interrupted you. When you feel like you're under attack, remember, there's a but. When you seems like everyone is against you, I want you to remember that word but. When your marriage is on the rocks, but. When your family won't stop fighting, don't forget that word. When your mailbox is full of final notices, when your food pantry gets dry and it gets empty and there's just nothing else to eat, when the doctor looks at you and just says, I don't know, there's nothing that else, I want you to remember, but there is a God in heaven. Now hold on. Daniel didn't just say, let's look beyond that first word where he completely turned the situation around. He says, but there's a two-letter word. But there, what's that two-letter word? Is. Oh my, that's got to be an insignificant word, right? Well, I'm going to tell you. No, that's not insignificant. Because can you and I say that statement today? No matter what we're facing, No matter what we're up against, we can go to that mailbox and we can pull out that letter, and on it, we may see that it's from the mortgage company, and we may look down and see it's a final notice, foreclosure on its way. And we look down at it and we could say, but there was a God in heaven. Boy, what hope is in that? Daniel didn't say, but there was a God in heaven that heard your cry. There was a God in heaven that heard. No, there is a God in heaven. And I'm saying, just as much as he was a is back then, you know what he is today? He still is a is. He still is in heaven. He still is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. You know what happens when somebody gets born again? I mean real born again. There is a God that takes up and moves in your heart. And I say today, because God, we serve a is God, he still is the is God. There is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. I'm thankful that there's a God in heaven. I'm thankful that that God in heaven is still working on my behalf. What is he doing? He's praying to the Father on my behalf. He knows how much prayer I need. He's still saturating it. He's still sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for me. But Daniel didn't say, there is a God somewhere. There is a God around here somewhere. I've seen this God. I've seen him. I ain't seen him in some time because here I am in a strange land. I don't know where he is, but he's around here. So I know he is. He is God. But he knew exactly where he was this morning. Where's your God at this morning? Did you leave him at the house? I'm going to tell you, if you left him at the house, he wasn't much of a God. If you're born again, that God goes around with you every single step that you take. You know, where does your help come from this morning? Psalms 21, 1 through 2 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We don't serve a past tense God. We don't serve one today. It's going to be a different one tomorrow. The same one that revealed this secret to Daniel is the same one that you and I should serve today. But you know what happens? Boy, we get down in the dumps. Boy, we get discouraged. You walk outside, you got a flat tire. You walk outside, maybe the car won't start. Maybe you go to the doctor and you get not such a good report from the doctor. But I'm going to tell you, you must understand, we serve a God that is still in existence. And you know what? Not only is he still in existence, there will never be a time he doesn't exist. Sometimes we just need to be reminded who it is we serve. This morning, whatever you're facing, be reminded. You tell that situation, there is a God in heaven. Stand to your feet if you would. Daniel wasn't ashamed to say, Nebuchadnezzar, nobody that you got could tell you this secret. But there is a God in heaven. And he says, who revealeth secrets. And he told Nebuchadnezzar of this God, of his God. I'm going to go back to Daniel chapter 2 just for a second. He says, but as for me, this secret was not revealed to me for any wisdom, that I may have more than any living. He said, God didn't reveal it to me for me. He didn't do it for me. What'd he do it for? He said, but for their sakes. For their sakes. All them soothsayers. All them ones you want to kill. He done it for their sakes. But I say this morning, why did God save you? Why did He come to your door? Why did He save your soul? Yes, you're saved and you're on your way to heaven if you're saved this morning. But did He do it just for you? Well, sometimes we think so. No, He done it for the world's sake too. Well, what are you talking about? There ought to be some Christians going out to the world, telling them of a God in heaven that loves them, a God in heaven that put on flesh one day, lived 33 1/2 sinless years, died on the cross for them. Why? So they could have eternal life. So they could go live forever with this God. I'm thankful that He saved us. And I'm thankful that I can say this morning, I'm saved. But my question is, what about you? What about you?